Hello and welcome to episode 22 of The So-So Show. It's a podcast especially for the city of Southampton. We've got entertainment, interviews and lots of fun with a unique Southampton slant. It's hosted by her, Zoe Hanson.
And him, Simon Clark. Now this week, with furlough coming to an end, we get an insight into the jobs market in Southampton by Alex from Mayday Recruitment in Totten.
The other thing is, especially with CVs at the moment, is you don't want gaps. Because if you've got a massive gap, it's not going to look good. They want to see someone out there looking for work rather than sitting at home feeling sorry for themselves.
And Andrew from Southampton Ghost Tours tells us about his paranormal experiences.
And when we turned the light on, the bit of the wall where we thought we saw the person walk through was actually a blocked up doorway, so it was actually bricked up.
Wow.
I could almost hear the hairs on the back of your neck standing up. As he was telling you about that.
It did frighten the life out of me, even just talking about it. I don't want to think about it anymore. Please don't.
All right, we'll put it to the back of your mind for 15 minutes until we catch up with Andrew and find out all about what they have in store with the Ghost Tours of the City. So it's been quite an exciting week for Southampton because this week the City of Culture bid was officially launched.
Yes. And I know that this has been, like, even to get to this point, it's been like a year in the making. Mm. They've brought in Claire Whittaker, MBE, to head up the City of Culture bid. And do you know what? Again, it's a really exciting time for us. I know that City of Culture is for 2025, but actually, the thing that it's going to generate is just all wonderful stuff for our city.
And we've got some legends involved in the bid. Craig David.
Yes.
Laurie McMenemy.
Yes.
And Sheila Permaloo. She was the MasterChef winner, wasn't she?
She's got the restaurant in Bedford Place, Lacaz Maman. Have you ever eaten there?
No, I haven't. It's on my list of places to go to at some point, though.
It's really cosy in there, but it's... the food is just outstanding. I mean, it's just what you would expect from a MasterChef winner. Mm. It's Mauritian cuisine and it is stunning.
If they need any more Southampton legends just to back the bid up, I've thought of another pair they could get involved.
Is it us?
No. Trev and Simon from Going Live.
Stop it.
Because Trev used to drink at the Castle Pub where the Tesco is now at the top of Dell Road.
Right.
And I think, personally, Trev and Simon swinging their pants. Or maybe not.
Is that culture?
Well, it was 30 years ago.
Yes, it is. Of course it is.
So you can get involved in the City of Culture bid yourself because what they want you to do is upload your video message about what the city means to you. Now, Zoe Hanson, if you were to upload a video message, you and Lois, about what the city means to you, what would be in it?
Well, do you know what? I think... I would say that I wasn't born in Southampton, and I came down here for work on Power FM, and as soon as I got down here, I went, right, this is home, you know, and I thought I'd probably be here for about 6 months, and Southampton's a really friendly city. I've always loved going out down Oxford Street and having a night out or having a meal out or whatever. And it just sort of, it draws you in. It takes you in. I love the fact that when you come across the Itchen Bridge, you can spot all the cruise ships. Mm. And I mean, you can spot quite a few of them at the moment. But but I just always love that. I love that we've got ferries going across to the Isle of Wight. I love this city. It's just brilliant. And you know how good this city is because every weekend the M3 is chock-a-block with people coming down from London, right? Mm. Coming down to the South Coast and they just love it down here. And you know, whenever I go past those queues of them going back to London on a Sunday evening, I always call it the smug queue. Because I go past them and I go, I live here.
Like you, I came down here for work and I'm always telling my friends from different parts of the country, I would never move away. Never move away now I'm here. You've got everything, haven't you? You've got the New Forest, yeah, one side. You've got stunning beaches, the other. And the people, I think it was Lou Taylor who said this last week in the podcast, the people are so welcoming.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that. And you know what? We've got such a diverse culture down here and I love it. I just really enjoy it. There's always just something going on everywhere.
And let's not forget Mexico.
And Mexico.
Which is one of the other things that no other part of the country has. It's exclusive to Southampton.
And do you know what? That would be my video. City of Culture. Mexico. That's it. Done.
We'd be sitting on a bench outside Mexico, tucking into those burritos.
That's it. Deal done.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do we sign? Let's book the fireworks for 2025 now.
I'd say the only thing that we are missing right now, and I was very jealous to see a video of this, in Berlin, they've had a great idea. Obviously, you're only allowed to meet up in groups of six, but they have held a cycle rave.
Right.
So they've got loads of people on bikes all around, like a it's like a tuk-tuk, but it's a bike, and it's got like a sort of sidecar on it, and there's a DJ in the sidecar, and they've got speakers in the sidecar as well.
Right.
And I just saw it, and like people are like, hands in the air. Only one hand, because you've got to keep your hand on the handlebars.
So it's like a mobile rave.
Yeah, love it.
Now, as we head towards the end of October, the furlough scheme is coming to an end. And there have been lots and lots of stories in the press about how this is going to be dreadful news. And yeah, there will probably be some redundancies as a consequence of that. But is the jobs market here in the South as bad as some of the mainstream media would have us believe it is generally? Well, we thought we'd try and get an answer to this from Mayday Recruitment in Totten, where I caught up with Alex Palmer.
I think Southampton's got a lot to offer at the moment. I know the docks are quiet with the cruise ships, but there are still a lot of cars being imported, and they are coming through Southampton. We've got some big companies on the South Coast, so it seems to be okay at the moment. I think there are still opportunities. I think people need to be flexible of what they're looking for at the moment. Maybe your ideal dream job isn't there with your ideal salary, but there is still work out there. We're still recruiting for people. Certain markets are still growing. You just maybe need to look at different sectors or look outside the box, really.
With Christmas approaching, is that going to be as helpful for people looking for jobs as it normally would be?
I think yes. I think the quiet times will be your January, February. I think for us personally, we will get busier up until Christmas. Christmas will be busy, first 2 weeks of January will be busy, and then it will probably start to die down. But I think if you are working during those periods, you're likely to get your name out, you meet other people, go into different companies you might not have been into before. So there could always be opportunities coming up when industries do start to pick up to maybe find permanent work from maybe the temp work or other work you've been doing.
If you've been in a job for a while, I don't know, at least a decade or so, and you're now faced with the opportunity of finding something new to do, what's the biggest piece of advice you could give someone?
Oh, try everything. Try all the work that's out there. I mean, it's one thing when you come to an agency like us, we can offer you driving work, warehouse work, admin work, totally different companies that you probably would never have been into. You meet completely different people. And I think you'll open your eyes and see, oh, actually, I can do other things. There are other things out there.
What do you think is probably the biggest quality that an employer would look for on a CV?
Flexibility. I think if you're applying for a particular job, you do need to tailor that CV towards that job. But I think if you go into an agency, tell them everything and anything you've done before. It could not be your main role, but it could be something else. It could be something you've done outside of work. Because that's what we say to people. Tick everything. Tell us everything you've done. Because we never know what work we're going to get coming for people. So we'll look through the files when it's something and go, oh, they've done da-da-da-da-da. They'd be perfect. They can have a go at that. The other thing is, especially with CVs at the moment, is you don't want gaps. Don't want big, massive gaps in your CV. There's another reason why people should be trying to find work, even if it is temporary work. Because if you've got a massive gap, it's not going to look good. They want to see someone out there looking for work rather than sitting at home feeling sorry for themselves.
Alex Palmer from Mayday Recruitment in Totten, hopefully making you feel a little bit more positive about the state of play in terms of job hunting in Southampton.
Yeah. I think I've come up with another job that needs to happen as well.
Okay.
So on Saturday, I went shopping and I found in the rain, there were queues outside every shop. So what I've thought is that, like, this isn't going to go away, right? So we're still going to have queues outside shops because they're limiting numbers.
Yeah.
So we need some sort of entertainment. Shops could probably make money out of this by going down the queue with brollies to sell.
Yeah, there is that. That's the obvious way of doing it.
Or failing that, you know when you go to the fair and there's somebody pushing a trolley round with those fluffy wiggly worms?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe they could sell those.
They'll get really soggy if it's raining, though. I tell you what would be quite cool, though. If you had a gazebo, like, every 100 yards up above bar, and in each gazebo you had a different band performing.
Yeah.
And you start at the bottom, and they do a song, and then you move to the next one, and they do a song, and then you move to the next one, and they do a song. Because there's nothing like a cheery song to actually lift your spirits if you're having to stand there queuing. I found this out in Eastleigh when I was trying to get to School Kit. And I saw the state of the queue outside School Kit and thought, nah. But everyone in the queue at School Kit looked quite cheery because it was a band knocking out Beatles covers.
Brilliant. It's what you need.
You could fill above bar with uplifting songs and everyone would feel a bit more positive while they're standing in the queues waiting to get in the shops.
Awesome. Anybody else needs any ideas, you just come to us.
We're on it.
The other thing that I think is a brilliant idea is somebody's come up with the bumpkin trail.
Right.
So rather than a pumpkin trail, so lots of places, I know that Bishop's Waltham, Burselden, they're all going to do a pumpkin trail. So you put a picture of a pumpkin or an actual pumpkin in your window, and that's what people have to find, and that's how they get sweets on Trick or Treat on the 31st, on Halloween. But the bumpkin trail is basically you get a tray of orange paint, you put your bottom on it, and then you put your bottom onto the paper. And all you've got to draw in is the stalk. Now, they said it's a bumpkin trail. I thought maybe a rumpkin trail.
Yeah, that's probably more closer to it, isn't it? After you then, Zoe.
I daren't show my little un that this is happening because I know what she's going to say. Let's get some orange paint. I will forever be clearing it up. No, not a chance. Not a chance.
I admire her enthusiasm. On the subject of paint, by the way,
right.
Hats off to the graffiti artists who spotted they were putting a new fence up on the M27.
Yeah.
You know that stretch between 5 and 7 where they're putting in the little refuges for the smart motorway?
Uh-huh.
Well, I noticed on the westbound side they were putting in a new fence on Sunday, I think it was, when I drove along there. Literally, next morning, back along that stretch, there's half a dozen graffiti tags on that brand new fence. It's not like they would have known it was... It's not like they would have walked past it and seen it. I imagine that kind of thing requires a lot of planning and preparation.
Maybe they've just got a can in their pocket, hey? Maybe their job is the Aldi Tills.
Right.
Maybe they're that quick.
And talking of graffiti, by the way, I've only just seen those concrete bollards in Bedford Place.
Yes.
You know, they put those big blocks in.
Just outside, it was a few months ago, wasn't it? And they, to pedestrianise Bedford Place, they've put these big concrete bollards outside of Vodka Revolution, haven't they?
Well, they've decorated them and they look really, really cool. I know they talked about doing this in Winchester when they had those big concrete blocks put in first a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they were talking about turning them into benches and putting flowers and plants and stuff on them. But I love what they've done in Bedford Place. It's obviously a much cheaper alternative to covering them in wooden slats and sticking plants on them, but it just looks brilliant.
Yeah, and you know that those plants will go walkies.
Yeah, don't stick anything that isn't nailed down outside a bar where people are going to be... Although, of course, those days are finished now because it's an early end, isn't it?
So the 10 p.m. curfew. So I'm going out tonight... And I wanted to book a table for 6 o'clock, but that just throws everybody out. They're like, well, I don't finish work till 5:30. Can't do that. I'm like trying to get hold of a babysitter and the babysitter's thinking, well, that's going to be a lot more work because she's not going to be in bed for as long.
One less thing that we'll be able to do, of course, in the city from this weekend is go to the Harbour Light Cinema because they've announced that they're going to be closing indefinitely from Friday the 9th. It's a real shame to see cinemas having to close. And I wonder whether or not this is going to be it. This is going to be the end of cinemas as we know it.
I don't think that it will. Do you know what? With all of these things, with everything that's going on, right? And I know I sort of, you know, my glass is half full. You know, I always try and look on the bright side. I just think that it won't be. There'll be so much want and need for it when they can come back properly. Everybody will want to go. Everybody will want to go to the cinema. Everybody will want to go to the theatre because we will have missed it so much.
I like to be positive as well, but I just wonder whether this is just going to be the start of the end and it's just bringing everything forward a bit quicker. Mind you, having said that, look at vinyl. There's been a resurgence of that in the last decade or so, and all of a sudden people are going out and buying vinyl again.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the cassette revival.
You're going to be waiting quite a while before that happens, I think. All those tapes you used to tape off the radio when you were a teenager, they won't be seeing the light of the day anytime soon.
Don't you panic. I have still got an old Sony Walkman that I can play tapes on. I have still got tapes.
So we can't go to the cinema, but we can head out on a ghost tour around the city of Southampton. With Halloween approaching, you might want to give this a go. But actually, before you consider it any further, you should probably find out a little bit about what's involved. Because if you're thinking it's just a walk around the city in the dark, there's so much more to it than that. As Andrew told Zoe earlier in the week.
So it's been a bit of a quiet year. We haven't done any ghost tours for about 7-8 months. So really since the start of the year.
Right.
So we've started to bring them back. We've gone through all the things we need to go through. So the COVID scheme and all those kind of things to bring it back safely. But we're hoping to bring them back in October.
For anybody that hasn't been on a Southampton ghost tour, where do you go? What do you do? What happens?
So if you love a good old scare, this is definitely your kind of things. We do around the older part of Southampton Centre. So we kick off outside to the house in St Michael's Square. And then we basically go around to all the old haunts. That's a good word for it, isn't it? And we tell you stories, but we do it in a different way. So we have live actors who play the parts of real people who did live or work in Southampton.
Wow.
And they provide a few scares and tell you their stories.
So anybody, right, looking for something different to do this Halloween, because we don't think we're going to be able to trick or treat, yeah. This sounds right up their street. Like there's a friend of mine, Tracy. She just loves this stuff. Like, I can't even go to a Halloween party because I get scared by the costumes. And that's just the kids.
Kids love it. They love it more than the adults. I think the adults are more scared. The kids are like, yeah, we want more of that. When's the next person coming out?
Do you actually sort of see or feel a presence anywhere?
Well, people have. And the places that we're using, they are alleged to be haunted. So many years ago, I started out doing real paranormal investigations in haunted places in Southampton. And so we use a lot of those accounts, and plus the accounts we picked up along the way from people who've experienced stuff, and incorporated them into the tours.
What's the most that you've ever felt a paranormal experience in Southampton?
It's a good question. So one of the ones that I do share this one on the tour, actually, because it's a good one. Although I don't say it's me, because I don't want to admit to being scared, because I don't really get scared.
Yeah.
So one of the places I went to is Tudor House. I spent a lot of time there. It's a museum, of course, now. But I spent a lot of time there when it was closed many years ago doing ghost hunts overnight.
Right.
And we had the keys, so no one else could get in. And we were down in the basement.
Yeah.
And we just all sat there doing what you do, like looking for something, hoping something's going to happen. And you've got to remember that with a lot of these things, they don't happen. It's few and far between, if I'm honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were sat there and we all turned around and we thought we saw what looked like somebody walking through the basement and then just vanishing. I was like, well,
wow.
We've got the key, so no one else could have done that. And when we turned the light on, the bit of the wall where we thought we saw the person walk through was actually a blocked up doorway, so it was actually bricked up.
Wow.
Yeah, that's quite scary.
Where else would be a good place in Southampton? Like, I've always wondered about sort of Netley Abbey, all of those sort of old places. Like you say, Tudor House. I mean, that's steeped in history and it's got so much about it. You know, it's almost got a presence just as you walk in to have a look around it.
Yeah, and you're right, Netley Abbey is definitely one of those places. Again, another place I spent many nights in the freezing cold looking for ghosts back in the day.
Right.
And it was actually very famous. Story with Netley Abbey, in fact, of a ghost who apparently haunts it called Blind Peter, who was one of the monks back in the day, right, who allegedly buried a treasure in the grounds of the abbey and said that if anybody tried to dig them up or retrieve them, they would well, meet their end as well. So that's the story that's that has been going around for many years. There was apparently a guy who said that he found the treasure and something not quite so nice happened to him afterwards, but no one's tried since then. But you've got that, and you've got, of course, Old Netley Hospital just down the road as well. I mean, the chapel's there now, but just imagine that hospital was massive, and now it's Victoria Country Park. So you're walking on where the hospital was and where a lot of things, not so nice things happened.
How do you reckon the spirit world is affected or is responding to COVID?
Well, I'd imagine they're probably thinking, what's happened? Everyone's disappeared. It's got a bit quiet. Yeah. And I mean, I suppose for them, it's probably a bit of peace, I suppose. And it might not take too kindly to ghost hunters trying to communicate with them. But on the bad side, they've got no one to scare either. So it's not always all good.
So they've got all that pent up scary stuff happening, right?
Oh, we find when we go to places where, like Tudor House is a good example, Netley Abbey, no one had ever done a ghost hunt in those places before. And we find that when you go to those places, you get more stuff. It's like they're waiting for someone to come along so you take the opportunity to speak to someone.
Because that's what they want to do, isn't it? Is that they want to communicate. So where can we find out more about Southampton Ghost Tours? Is it on socials or is it on the website?
Yeah, a bit of both. So we are on social media underneath Southampton Ghost Tours, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those kind of places you expect nowadays, and on our website, southamptonghosttours.com.
Andrew from Southampton Ghost Tours. Put in the bejesus up Zoe from the sounds of it.
Yeah, I don't really like talking about it. Look, if a trailer for a horror film comes on the telly, I turn that off.
Oh, wow.
I can't even go through that. No.
We need to go on a ghost tour.
No, let's not.
And we need to mic you up on it as well.
No.
Really?
Not a chance.
I bet Lois would be up for
it. No, she wouldn't. She wouldn't.
Really?
I'll tell you that now. No, we're not going to do it. Like, I love you for it, and I like to do all the nice stuff. I don't like that. It will stop me sleeping for weeks.
This is turning into one of those conversations where I tell you what I've made for dinner and say, oh, I'll give you the recipe if you like, and you go, nah, it's not going to happen. It's easy. I don't know how you can honestly go wrong. You just need to make sure you've got all the ingredients.
Yes, but you have a cooking head. What I never really understand is, okay, it's taken me 2 hours to make this meal. It takes everybody approximately 2 minutes to eat it. No, I'm not getting good value for money out of that.
But you judge your culinary ability based on the timings they put in cookbooks, and the timings they put in cookbooks are never, ever anywhere near the reality for how it takes to make these things.
So me and Litland's favourite dinner to go out for is Wagamama's.
Oh,
it's katsu curry from Wagamama's.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, right, okay, I'm going to really push the boat out this week. I'm going to make katsu curry with sticky rice. Well, sticky rice, you have a real bother trying to get hold of. But anyway, I found it in Sainsbury's. I checked out the reviews and it said, don't soak the rice for 15 minutes, soak it for 4 hours. So I'm like, okay, right. God, this is an all-day job, this is. So I soaked it for 4 hours and then I washed it off. And so anyway, make the rice, made the chicken, made the sauce. And she went real bake-off on me. She was like, texture of the chicken's nice. It's really good with the sauce. And then I'd put loads of this sticky rice on her plate. And she tried it and she was like, it's delicious. Second mouthful, it's a bit watery. Third mouthful, it's a 5 out of 10, mummy.
No Hollywood handshake there then?
No, not a chance. In fact, she didn't even do the washing up. What was the point? Right, and there you go. What's the point?
Okay, gotcha. Fair enough. I see where you're coming from, totally. Have you found, though, since it started raining lots, that your menu has shifted more into winter foods and stuff like that?
I'm just craving a roast, not just on a Sunday, like every single day. And I love all of the reviews, like everybody putting up their pictures of their Sunday lunch now. As soon as you hit October, that's it. Everybody wants comfort food. They want cozy food, don't they?
Crispy roast potatoes.
Oh, man, it's too good, isn't it? So, actually, I put up a post on our Facebook this week. I did it on Monday because I was like, oh gosh, everybody putting up their pictures of their roast is just making me so hungry and I need a roast. So I asked people to suggest where they think the best roast is. Ross Middleton said the Alexandra Hotel. I think that's known as the Alex, isn't it? I think I've been in there to watch a rugby game with some date that I was on. Emma suggests the Garden Society. They've got a lovely place there. I've had a roast there. It's very good. Shirley says the best roast ever at the Four Horseshoes in Nursling. Ian Holloway, you know, the photographer.
Yeah.
He says the roast at the Fountain in Hythe is amazing. R. Hampshire on Instagram says the Cricketers in Bedford Place and Bacaro. Now, Bacaro, have you had a roast there?
No, but I've heard good things.
Wow. Wow. And I mean, you literally roll out of there as well. They give you so much food and it's so good. And they do amazing cocktails and it's brilliant. Rachel Saunders says the Bridge in Shawford is really nice. Pam recommends the Hiltingbury Farmhouse. And Lucy says the Grand Cafe. And they are doing takeaway roasts at Grand Cafe.
The Railway in Botley do a mean Sunday roast as well.
Right. Okay, yeah.
You're not giving that a try?
No, I don't think I've been to that one. I've been to the Cricketers up round the, is it Curdridge?
Yeah, yeah, I've been there as well.
They do a very nice roast. Yeah, very nice.
Used to be run by a guy called Lorenzo, I think.
Right.
But I don't know whether he's still there now. Last time I went, which was probably about 18 months ago, Lorenzo was in charge.
Right.
He was quite a character, Lorenzo. If you ever ate or drank in there, you'd remember him. That's all I'm going to say.
We love those characters.
So thank you very much for getting in touch and sharing your comments on that on our social media. So many people do find us on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook. You can join in the conversation. And also, of course, if you spot something that you think we should be talking about, that's the first way you can get in touch with us.
And if you have been for an amazing Sunday roast, please let us know. Take a picture and let us know where these good Sunday roasts are so we can let everybody else know as well, but mostly me.
We don't get bored of looking at Sunday roasts.
No. and it ups Simon's culinary skills, right? Because he's trying to compete with these people.
It's Thursday when we're recording this. Do you know what I'm cooking for tea tonight?
What?
Roast pork.
Get in.
Pulled roast pork. It's in the fridge already. It's marinating in soy and lemon and lime with a little bit of sesame oil.
Oh, why are you faffing about with it? Just cook a bit of pork.
It's going in at 1 o'clock, really low, for about 3.5 hours, and then the last half an hour cranked up all the way to the top.
Right, so there's my case in point. 24 hours to make a roast. I'm not doing it.
Listen, thanks for listening once again. And if you've enjoyed it, please do tell a friend. And don't forget to find us on our social media as well. Have a great week, Zoe.
And you, Simon.